This is 89.1 KUAR. We're breaking into This American Life to bring you today's COVID-19 update. Governor Asa Hutchinson live at the state capitol.
Edition of our COVID-19 daily update. And we will have brief comments today about where we stand with our cases, but also, as always, joined by Dr. Nate Smith, Secretary of the Department of Health. But also today, I've asked Johnny Key, our Secretary of the Department of Education, to join us to talk about at least one educational issue that I think is important for the public to be aware of. And so thank you again for joining us today. In terms of the cases for COVID-19 in Arkansas, yesterday we had 2,741 cases in the state. Since yesterday, we've had an additional 84 cases. Of those, 47 were in the Cummins unit. So that brings us, with the 84 cases, that brings us today to 2,830 cases. In terms of hospitalizations, yesterday we had 104 hospitalizations. That number remains the same at 104. Yesterday we had 46 deaths. That is plus three, so we have 49 deaths at the present time. Dr. Smith, of course, will elaborate on these statistics. And if we could go to the charts just to show this in a different fashion. These, again, the daily accounting of the number of COVID new cases each day in the state of Arkansas. And as you can see, as you look toward today, we have a much smaller number. We are going down to fairly well where we were before. With the 89 new cases that are here, in contrast to the previous day that we had 280, and of course that was because of our large number of Cummins inmates that were added to that in those preceding days. And then if you look at the next chart, this is the 7-day rolling average of new cases in Arkansas, and of course the rolling 7-day average is on the orange line as it goes through, and it has certainly reflected a jump because, again, of some trend upward in the cases overall, but also a large jump because of the Cummins cases, and we hope that flattens out or declines. And then the next one is the 7-day rolling average. Well, this is the number of currently hospitalized, and here you can see that it is flattening out at a little bit over 100, at least for today. We don't know what it'll be tomorrow, but that's where we are today. And I want to leave that up there for just a second and contrast this to what the University of Washington, the IHME projections have said. Now, those who have followed that, and the White House follows them very closely, and we follow those, today actually was the date that they projected on April 8th to be the highest peak in terms of the resource requirements, which is primarily looked at in terms of hospitalizations. But clearly we are well under 10%, much less than that in terms of hospitalization utilization in Arkansas for our cases. And whenever we started this process, if you'll remember, that the University of Washington IHME model projected on this particular day we would have over 2,000 cases of COVID-19 in Arkansas hospitalized. And so is that hospitalizations at 2,000? Yes, that was over 2,000 hospitalizations. So in contrast to 2,000, we have 100 and some. And so for that reason, we are comfortable in the capability of managing the patients that we have and even into the future. As you know, we're in the middle of a surge, 2-day surge campaign for testing. And if you go to the next chart, I think it'll reflect our testing, where we are on that. So these are the number of COVID-19 tests by date of test result and testing facility type. In the white is the Department of Health laboratory numbers. In the bottom orange is the UAMS numbers, and then the red is the commercial lab numbers. And of course, yesterday we had that spike of 2,800 in terms of test results that came in. But then if you look on average, as I've said, we've probably been running about 1,000 in recent days, which we were running today. But you can see where it had declined for some time below that. And so I was worried about the decline in our testing. And so we put together this two-day surge campaign. And if you go to the next slide, it'll just remind us of that campaign. Arkansas Surge Campaign, if you think you have symptoms, don't wait, get tested. And so everyone that's listening, we're still within that two-day campaign. We encourage everybody, if you have symptoms, to call in first. Don't just walk in the emergency room, but call in. You'll be screened. And if you are determined to meet the requirements, then you'll certainly have an opportunity to be tested. Now, these numbers that are going to reflect in this two-day campaign will be shown later. But my goal was to be able to increase them over that two-day period from 1,000 to about 1,500 tests. And I'm very, very grateful for our hospitals, for our clinics that have really stepped up, but also the public who have listened to that message and responded. Just anecdotally, doing a little quick survey around in Washington County, they'd been running about 40 tests. They ran 118 tests, which combines with some of the Department of Health, but they were up in Fort Smith. They were up from 24 to 50 tests. In Northeast Arkansas, they were running 20 tests a day. They were up to 53 in their tests, so there's a good public response. There were not any testing concerns from six regional hospitals in Northeast Arkansas, but they've had some increase, and we're very, very delighted with some of the response and the increased response by the public in terms of seeking that test. When you have symptoms, don't wait, get tested. And so with that, let me go to one final issue. Well, first, let me ask Dr. Nate Smith to come, and then we'll come to our education issue. So, Dr. Smith.
Thank you, Governor. As the governor mentioned, the numbers from the testing surge we won't see for another day or two. It takes a day or two to get the results and then to get them reported to the Department of Health. But I will say from yesterday, we had a total of 1,003 reports, and our overall positivity rate was 4.2%, which is still relatively low. That means over 95% were negative test results. Of those, 190 were from the Department of Health Public Health Laboratory, and 172 were from the UAMS laboratory. In terms of our daily numbers, as the governor mentioned, we had 89 new cases reported. 47 of those were from the Cummins unit, and 42 were from the community. And that two-day upward trend that we had been seeing from our community numbers is now reversed. We're now down to what we had been earlier in the week, and hopefully we'll continue to see a downward trend. As the governor mentioned, we have a total of 2,830 cases. Of those, 1,813 are active cases. We have no new counties today. We have, as the governor mentioned, 104 currently hospitalized, which is the same as yesterday. We have 22 on ventilators, which is three fewer than yesterday. We had three new deaths, and so we're up to 49 deaths. We have 970 who have recovered. That's 38 more than yesterday. In terms of nursing homes, we have 194 cases associated with nursing homes. That's up 18 from yesterday. And we have 109 staff from nursing homes, and that's up 7 from yesterday. We currently have 37 nursing homes that we have ongoing investigations. And finally, I'd like to give a brief report on the Cummins unit. We are now up to 826 inmates who have tested positive. That's up 136 from what I reported yesterday. We are almost finished with all the results from the Cummins inmates. We still have some staff who are being tested. though. And with that, I'll go ahead and conclude my report and turn it back over to the governor.
Thank you, Dr. Smith. And as you know, we give a lot of data in these daily updates. And this is important, the science of it, to where we are, looking at it carefully, because we have some big decisions to make next week. As you know, the announcement trail starts on Wednesday of next week, and then we'll have sequential announcements after that related to some of the businesses in Arkansas that have been impacted by the restrictions that have been put into place. As I came in today, I did visit with some of the protesters, or at least those that are carrying signs outside, saying that they're anxious to get back to business. And of course, everybody is ready to be normal, but we're not there. We're not normal yet, and we're not going to be for some time. But we are looking at ways that we can lift restrictions so people can be employed, but at the same time that we can be sure that we keep a handle on this virus, that we diminish the spread of it, and we save lives in the process. One of the things that reminds us that we're not normal is that we're not getting preparations done for high school graduations. And I've received a lot of calls in recent weeks about can we do this, can we do that, can we have some kind of a high school ceremony for our graduates. And I'm very sympathetic because I have a granddaughter who's a senior in high school this year. But it's really a risk whenever you bring thousands of parents and students together in one assembly to have a celebration. And that's exactly the kind of gathering that could lead to a spread of COVID-19. And so we're not going to be having those kind of large gatherings this year. The questions are, well, is there some other way that we can recognize our seniors? And so I've asked Secretary Johnny Key to come and to make some comments about high school graduation this year. We're not going to be having traditional high school graduations before July 1, but I wanted him to be able to talk about the process and how, and any additional comments on this. Johnny?
Thank you, Governor. In high school graduation, as we are getting into that time where those would be scheduled and we'd be holding those around the state. And it's a time where in an event of great celebration, it's cherished by students, by educators, by families. You know, we celebrate the accomplishments of these students, but we also look forward to their opportunities in the future. In many communities, the high school graduation is one of the most attended, one of the largest events in the community in the whole year. And as the governor said, when you have friends, family members coming from across the state, and in many cases coming from out of state for a traditional graduation ceremony, we simply cannot mitigate sufficiently the risk of spread in a situation like that. Even in the best of times, organizing graduation can be a challenge. It is certainly even more of a challenge now. So as the governor said, the traditional high school graduation ceremonies are restricted prior to July 1. As we approach July 1, we will look again, work with the health department, looking at the public health data to determine if that date needs to be modified. But right now, we're asking all of our schools that not to plan any traditional high school graduations prior to July 1. We know that that may be too late for some. In some communities, they want to go ahead and do something in the normal time. And in that case, we are going to allow them to create non-traditional, either by remote means, by digital means, by video. There are a number of techniques that schools have already started exploring to see how they could make this happen as a celebration for their seniors. At the same time, taking into consideration and following our social distancing protocols, the restrictions of congregate gatherings of 10 or more people. And as you know, a graduation gets just with the family members, that gets to 10 or more people very quickly. So we are going to begin accepting proposals from school districts this week to evaluate their non-traditional graduation celebrations. Again, we will be working with the health department. If there are any questions about anything that we think may not be in line with the social distancing protocols and with the congregate settings, we will be consulting with them, but we would ask that all schools be patient as we work through this this situation. I would encourage you to just to wait. You know, that would be my encouragement to our school districts, would be to wait until after July 1. But if that's not an option for you, then we will make this other option available for you. This week, we will be sending out more detail to our superintendents of how they can submit these proposals to us. And we will be looking at those, turning those around as quickly as possible. This provides certainty. It may be a disappointment, it is a disappointment. But one thing that having this date does, it provides certainty for schools that they know that that there is a time in the future that we can look forward to, but in the meantime, other options if they want to follow, proceed with those. I'll turn it back to the governor.
And you're listening to a live press briefing, Governor Asa Hutchinson, at the state capitol.
The prison system, those that have tested positive, are they being hospitalized? Is there any numbers that are being hospitalized within the prison system? So if an inmate is positive for COVID-19, he's not moved from there to be hospitalized, but numbers where, like, say, Cummins has a hospital on campus,
The vast majority of the inmates who have tested positive are not symptomatic. But they are segregated in different cells, both positive and negative. So, and then they're well taken care of in both of their health needs. In terms of hospitalization, Dr. Smith advised me today that three of those have been hospitalized.
Okay, when you say that they've been hospitalized, would that mean ventilators brought to the prison and they're still kept?
Well, of course, if you're hospitalized, that does not mean that you're on a ventilator. And so, but these three would have been hospitalized, and I'll ask Dr. Smith to make sure that's clear.
The report I have from the Cummins unit from this morning is that there are three who are hospitalized outside of the Cummins unit. I don't have the numbers on those who are in the field hospital within the Cummins unit. That is a low acuity facility, though. They would not be having patients on ventilators there.
Update on the compassionate release program of the number of inmates that have been found to meet that criteria. Have they been screened yet this week, and when will they be released if they will be?
Great question, and I made it clear that as you look at as some people call a compassionate release, but it's reviewing the inmates that meet a certain criteria, which are nonviolent, not sex offenders, and are their parole date is within 6 months. In other words, they're going to be released. We're just looking at them 6 months in advance if they meet those criteria. And with that, they identified, and these are round numbers, about 1,600 that met that criteria. And the reason I wanted to go through this process is because if we do have an outbreak in a different prison system or different prison institution in Arkansas, whether it be Calico Rock or Tucker, that we have space for the isolations and the protection and the health care that they need. So we're just freeing up some space in the event that happens. One of the other criteria, of course, is that they have to be reviewed by the parole board to make sure they have a plan in place as to where they're going. They have to be assured that they're not COVID positive as well. We're not going to release anybody from prison that might be positive. And so while the Board of Corrections identified about 1,600, that will now be reviewed by the parole board. I talked to the chief of the parole board this last week. They've already started that process. They've gone through a large number of those. But they have not landed on exactly how many will be released because they have to have a parole plan. They have to demonstrate that they're not going to be a risk and that they've got a good record. So they go through those criteria before they make a final decision, so we don't have that number yet.
Yeah, Title I, does those schools, do they still get to keep that? Will that roll into next year, or will those schools lose Title I?
So Title I will not change as a result of anything that is going on with the emergency. We have received the waivers from the U.S. Department of Education regarding Title I funding and the ability for schools to carry over funding that may have expired otherwise. So no, there won't be any changes.
Has there been any planning, I know that we're taking this day by day, but has there been any discussion or any planning about school in the fall and what the schools can do,
That's a great question. Yes, we have a number of teams working to look at contingencies. I have two members of my team, one member of my team and a principal, an Arkansas principal, that has been appointed to serve with the Southern Region Education Board, a region of states. They are looking at this. We have teams of teachers that we've brought together and principals and superintendents that are planning out different scenarios and possibilities. So it is something that we are looking at, and hopefully we'll be presenting the governor with options coming up in the next couple of weeks.
And let me just follow up on that point. When Secretary Key talks about options, obviously you want to be prepared in the event this COVID virus lingers on, or that if it resurges next year. But the first option and the intent is that we'll have a full school year and normal class operation next year. So that's my hope, that's the intention, that's the first design that we would have. But obviously it's important to configure different scenarios in the event the circumstances dictate that's necessary. Is there any, go ahead.
Is that the ADE taking the lead on that? Are you going to appoint a task force to study what to do about how to open school in the fall?
Department of Education has a lead on that, working with the Department of Health, obviously. Yes. Is there a question remotely?
Yes, Governor Jacqueline Froelich, Public Radio KUAF. When do you plan to respond to the lawsuit filed by ACLU and their coalition? And a question for Dr. Smith regarding the number of staff at Commons who have been tested positive. Thank you so much.
Okay, this is on the prison lawsuit, is that correct?
Yes, sir.
And the answer is, of course, the Attorney General is handling that. It's my understanding that the judge that's been assigned that case has set a schedule on it, but there's a time for the answer that's due, and it will be briefed in normal fashion. So the Attorney General will be responding to that in due course and in an appropriate time frame.
How many staff at Commons have tested positive for coronavirus, please?
Just one second.
Thank you.
The number that I have from the Commons unit from this morning was 33. Now, I 2 days ago I reported 35, but we had double counted some. So 33 was the number from this morning, but we have about 200 where the results are pending and have not been collated yet. So that number is likely to increase somewhat.
Thank you, sir.
Governor, I know we're going back in time here, but can you explain a little bit about how you came out to the process of closing schools in the first place? What was the information or the data that made you decide to go ahead and do that?
Well, that is going back a little bit in time, but I mean, the process is, and it will be the same for the fall, that, Dr. Smith and his team, as well as Secretary Key from an education standpoint, will be listening to school superintendents, but we're also most importantly looking to the health science and the data that we have, and, obviously, the most important thing is public health. So, what Dr. Smith carries the biggest swag on this, but at the same time, there's a practical considerations of that we want to have our children educated. It's important to have class, and that's why I lean forward to having a traditional school year next year and believe that we will be in a position to do that. And part of that's based upon the numbers that we see and the projections across the country. But we have to recognize that, you know, there could be a resurgence if we're not careful, and then we have to plan for options in the event that happens. But in terms of going back to this last year, this spring, whenever we closed schools, that was handled exactly in the same way. And of course, part of it starts with the superintendents expressing concern. We're evaluating the data, we're looking at that, and we make a decision on it. And we first started by a suspension of schools for a period of time, hoping that we would not have a spread of the COVID-19. But when we saw that there was community spread, we immediately took the next step, and I announced the closure for the rest of the year. So I'm the lead, I'm governor, but the public health directives and guidance that Dr. Smith provide are essential in any decisions that we make. Yes?
Do these guidelines about graduation for schools, do those apply to private and charter schools as well, and how will they be enforced?
I'll let Secretary Key comment on that, but the public health guidelines provide across the board in terms of gatherings.
Well, that's what my response would have been, is charter schools are public schools, so they would certainly fall under that category. And our private schools certainly are adhering and subject to the orders from the health department, and they've been great partners throughout this and have been very helpful with us. So we've been in contact with them as well. So they would apply across the board.
Is there any other question remotely?
Governor, good afternoon. With the big number from Cummins, is there any indication or plan to test in any of the other correction facilities around the state?
First of all, if you look at the Federal Correctional Institute in Forest City, the CDC team and the Bureau of Prisons is on site. We expect them to engage in more testing there, both of staff and their contact tracing within the institution itself. And so that's, as you look at the next week, those are numbers that could go up from the FCI. In terms of the other institutions, of course, we had here at the Community Corrections in Central Arkansas a significant number of positives there, and that's been addressed. Beyond that, we will test as we have symptoms that merit testing, just similarly like we do anywhere else in Arkansas. Anything else? If not, for tomorrow, just for everybody's awareness, we will not be having our daily update on Sunday tomorrow, but we will reconvene on Monday. Thank you very much.
And we've been listening live to Governor Asa Hutchinson, along with Education Secretary Johnny Key and Dr. Nate Smith with the Arkansas Department of Health, giving the latest update regarding COVID-19 in the state. To recap, Arkansas is now up to 2,830 cases. That includes about 80 new cases announced today. 104 people are hospitalized. That's the same number as yesterday. And officials there announced 3 new deaths in the state since yesterday, bringing a total number of 49 people in Arkansas who have died from COVID-19. The governor referenced a University of Washington projection for the state that said today was the date Arkansas was expected to have the highest peak in terms of the number of hospitalizations, but noted the state is well below that. Instead of the 2,000 cases, number of people expected to be hospitalized, Arkansas is now just over 100, and Governor Hutchinson said he's comfortable with how Arkansas is managing the number of cases currently in the state. He noted this is the second day of the two-day surge campaign that the governor had called for, where anybody who thinks they have symptoms of the virus should go to a hospital to get tested. And regarding the increase in the number of testing, the governor said that he is happy with the response, the number of people seeking results. Dr. Nate Smith from the Department of Health said the state won't have results from this testing surge for a few days. Regarding the tests from yesterday, Smith said that only 4.2% of those new test results were positive for COVID-19. At the state prison, still seeing a dramatic spike in the number of cases there. The Cummins unit, 826 inmates have now tested positive for the virus, 136 new cases since yesterday. Dr. Smith said that the state is almost finished getting all results, though some staffers are still being tested. 33 prison staff there at Cummins have now tested positive, he said. Hutchinson also noted that most inmates who are positive are not showing symptoms, are asymptomatic, but there are three inmates, however, who are now hospitalized. The governor said we won't get an update tomorrow, but the next briefing from the state will come on Monday. The governor said as he was coming into the state capitol, he spoke with protesters who were outside. Those are people who have been demonstrating, saying that they're ready for the state to reopen. There have been similar demonstrations elsewhere around the country. The governor said that it is important that the state not rush a decision on this, but that it is decided based on test results. However, next Wednesday is when the governor is expected to make the first announcement regarding the staggered series of announcements of different kinds of businesses or industries, whether or not those can reopen. He has taken some flack for that, but said that it will be done on a case-by-case basis for each individual industry, and it will be determined based on the situation at that time. So again, to recap, Arkansas now at 2,830 cases, three new deaths in the state, for a total of 49 Arkansans who have died from COVID-19. I'm Michael Heplin. This is KUAR 89.1.